we're back with another Browns cast. I'm your host, Taylor Jedrzak. Joined, as always, for the recap by Matt Milner. How are you doing today, Matt?
Today was all right, but this weekend was just a disaster, I would say.
You know, at least it started with turkey, right?
Yeah, at least I got stuffed and then at least was fat and happy for the first couple days, and then just everything went down straight from there.
Yeah. Didn't even get to enjoy your Thanksgiving sandwich on Saturday.
Couldn't even be in a good mood on Saturday. It started right from the rip.
Yeah. I guess that is one place where I kind of benefit. I'm not as invested in the whole Ohio State thing as most people that will listen are. Just never latched onto it. I mean, I grew up in North Carolina, so it was a little more difficult. But trust me, I didn't latch on to UNC or Duke either. I hate both of them.
They're more basketball schools anyway. So
yeah, but yeah. So obviously, I think we're probably in a slightly better mood today than had we jumped on this at about 7:30 last night. I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty doomy. especially in the Discord, I think even Craig was getting on me for being too doomy.
And Craig's kind of doomy, so that says a lot.
Yeah, I was in a weird headspace yesterday. When the game didn't start well, I was already tired because I had woken up early to drive back from South Carolina. I was dealing with a stomach bug, so like I was already kind of ornery. And then the game happened, and I was just like, I'm done. I'm going to be real cynical tonight.
Yeah, I did a thing that I don't usually do. I turned off the game around 4 minutes left. I just could not bear to watch PJ Walker just get his head taken off the rest of the game. It was just...
No. That was rough. I know some people out there were wondering why when DTR... He started off poorly the last two games. And you hear just put in PJ Walker. He beat teams. And I'm like, the dude is literally a walking turnover.
I mean, yeah, like he turned the ball over five times in three games. Like
turned the ball over twice, I think, or no, once yesterday in 13 pass attempts.
Like, there's a reason why people are like, if DTR can't go, or are clamoring for Joe Flacco, who they were probably hoping would just be an emergency option, and unfortunately, it might be an emergency this week.
Yeah, we have fully we've uncovered the button, and the keys are in the position to be turned so that we can set off the emergency Flacco.
It had to be. It couldn't have just been 5 weeks in. It had to be a week later. Of course, it had to be.
To be honest, I kind of was expecting him to start maybe against the Jags or the Bears. If DTR, like there was points in the beginning of the game yesterday where I was like, "Ooh, this DTR train's kind of leaking oil here."
And then it's kind of slowly picked up a little bit.
Yeah, he started off rough, and I think, you know, that's kind of a good place to dive in. The game, I think pretty much like every road game that they've had so far this season, I'm trying to think of one where it didn't. It got out of hand quickly early. Every other game they've been able to claw back. And they were able to claw back in this one. They, in all likelihood, should have tied the game if Amari Cooper caught a two-point conversion. But, mm-hmm. You know, they can't keep digging themselves these holes on the road. Their defense has been just atomic at home, but average on the road. And average is kind of being nice, considering some of the plays they gave up in Indianapolis and in Seattle. They were good against Pittsburgh, but that was really the only great game they had on all season on the road. So I don't know where what the formula is for that, but I mean, it's not the worst problem to have, because they've shown that they can come back from it. I think they would have come back from it even yesterday, down, what were they down, 17 to 12?
They were only down by 5 points, and then just the DTR injury kind of threw things for a loop. Like, pretty much kind of just, it was a domino effect after that injury.
Yeah, I mean, the game essentially, I mean, obviously hindsight now, but it, for all intents and purposes, the game ended when DTR took that shot and went off. Because it was pretty clear PJ Walker wasn't going to do it. He didn't have enough time to settle in. Like in Indianapolis, when he came in off the bench cold, he had some time to settle in. Didn't have that luxury yesterday. So, but I mean, I think part of the reason we're in a better mood today than we would have been last night is one of the first times this season we've gotten that good injury news thus far. It is only Monday night.
Of course.
So things could happen tomorrow and Wednesday before we see injury reports. But it seems like Miles is going to be okay, which is obviously, like, I saw a tweet today. Schefter tweeted that the Browns dodged a bullet by not having Miles miss time. The response was, the Browns didn't dodge a bullet, they dodged a nuke. Like, if Myles Garrett is out for any extended period of time, and I'll be honest, when I heard him say last night that something popped in his shoulder, my brain immediately went to, up. Oh, he tore his labrum, he's done. But obviously that didn't happen, so we'll see him again either this week or in the coming weeks. So, yeah, so, you know, having Miles be healthy, at least, you know, to the extent that anyone is healthy at this point in the season, will be good. Even if, I mean, obviously him missing this week makes this week a lot harder, but if the Browns get Denzel Ward back, it's not as big a deal. I think actually having Denzel Ward is equally as important facing the Rams as having Miles Garrett.
Yeah, like the Rams are a more potent passing attack more so than the Broncos. Even though that they did have some success, they didn't really win that game because of Russ. They more so won it because you made mistakes at very opportune times for the Broncos, pretty much.
Which is exactly how we said that they've been beating teams. Like, in the end, the Broncos didn't put up 100 yards of offense, I don't believe. No, 294. Like, they didn't they weren't lighting things up. They ran the ball well, 39 for 169, 4.3 yards a carry. That's not as good as you'd like to see.
But that wasn't going to kill you if you just played a clean game.
No. I mean, you turned the ball over three times. One of them set the Broncos up with first down at, like, the 25 or something, or the 20. Like, they were deep in Browns territory.
Yeah, it was the end around that got the whole internet to collectively just burn to the ground. So that was great.
Yeah, I mean, they've run that play a lot. It certainly was kind of a weird time to do it, and you did it with guys that, you know, maybe shouldn't be doing it. I like having, obviously, if you have Marquise Goodwin, he's probably the one catching that end around, so you don't have the same issues, but you know, when your offense is as banged up as it is, you're not going to have the guys that you want catching those plays.
Yeah, it was like staple plays that just at the worst possible time just get blown up. Like, we've seen those end arounds before be pretty effective, and then we also saw Harrison Bryant fumble some snaps under center that he hadn't done before yesterday. So it was just like they just did a bunch of stuff that pretty much beat themselves more so than the Broncos beat them, in my mind.
No matter how
the score reflects it.
Yeah, and you know, the Broncos are a game behind them now, with the mysteries that the Browns have facing the quarterback position, that this ends up being a bigger game. This was the more important game to win. if you had to only win one on this road trip, you need to be AFC teams, not NFC teams.
Of course.
All wins count, but this one now can – this one can kind of screw with the you just have to win 10 games theory, because now there's scenarios where the Broncos win 10 games and beat you out for that last wild card spot. So it was inopportune. I think that there's obviously some, as there always is, some discussion on the play calling. Overall, I thought Stefanski had a decent game. Certainly not his best. That end around, while it's something they've run, maybe you don't do it with guys that aren't used to doing it.
The timing of it was just bad. I would say that the timing of it. I understand why, because of the DTR injury. It kind of was like we need to try to find something to like something creative that we've done before to get yards. And like, unfortunately, it was just it blew up in their face.
Yeah. And, you know, the same people are going to criticize, why didn't they just run the ball up the middle every time? But, like, you if you go back and look at some of those plays, you saw the light boxes, the heavy boxes that the Browns are facing. Like, running counter and power into eight-man boxes is only going to get you so far, even against the worst run defense in the league. And it got you 107 yards on 24 carries. But, you know, you had almost a whole fourth quarter where you weren't going to run the ball. So you lost out on probably 10, 12 carries there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it was certainly like we were starting to see a trend now where the team is not as good on the road as they are at home. Obviously, they won in Baltimore. They won in Indy. Those are important wins. They threw away the Steelers game. This game, you know, I wouldn't say they threw it away in the same sense that they threw it away in the Steelers game, but like they beat themselves more than anything. So it's a matter of just cleaning those things up. And I know I sound like Stefanski, who said the exact same thing in his press conference today. But they started off slow again. They cut it back to one possession by halftime again. Like, you can't keep doing this. You have to find ways to be better off out of the gate at home or on the road. So hopefully we see something different this week, this coming week. Historically, again, we've made this point a few times already this season. They've been really good, or at least fairly, they've been better after a loss than I think would be league average. Comes with the territory of how Stefanski kind of manages the team, the don't get too high, don't get too low mentality. So they'll be ready for this week. It all just depends on who's playing, but I think we just need to see more consistent efforts. It's the same. Like you're starting to see the same things on offense. Like I saw a stat today, 9% of all pass attempts have been dropped this year by Browns receivers. That's just an astronomical number.
Yeah, like we can complain all we want about the quarterbacks, like, but the fact that they're not getting helped in the slightest, it also drives you up a wall, because you feel like there's so many yards and potential points being left left off the board just because of that. Like that 9% drop rate that's not acceptable. Like it's definitely not something you want, because, and especially with this team that has such a low margin of error on offense, you can't have that.
No, like if the percentages are correct, that means they've dropped 35 passes this year.
Jeez.
Because they've only thrown 391 passes, which is like a league low, or it's got to be close to a league low. But
they've always had a tendency to be like low on the pass attempts, but high on the rushing attempts, contrary to what people who say Kevin doesn't run the ball enough. He's always at least top five in rush attempts. But yeah, like they try to balance efficiency in terms of like passing yards, but low on attempts, but rushing attempts, but high on efficiency. They're just and all I'm basically saying is they try to do it as efficiently as possible. But when you're not doing things that are efficient, like catching the ball at an acceptable rate, that kind of ruins your efficiency. That's kind of what the whole crux of the problem is. You're not helping your young quarterback, whoever the quarterback is, and you're putting yourself in a bad spot almost 30% of the time.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we're if DTR plays this week, which, you know, concussions, you never know. You're gonna have all three quarterbacks that you've played appear in at least six games. Which, ouch.
Just
remarkable, man. I mean that's ouch, and the alternative is Joe Flacco becoming their fourth starting quarterback this year.
Which could you have believed Joe Flacco ever be a Browns quarterback in any just like parallel universe? I never thought.
No, this is. Look, this entire season is pretty much a parallel universe at this point.
Yeah, we're pretty much in the multiverse. This is a multiverse of madness right now.
That movie was at least good.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, you can't keep having drops like that. And Njoku's had two of the worst games back to back of his career. Amari Cooper's dropping passes. Jerome Ford dropped a couple of passes. Although that pass that he dropped in the first quarter yesterday, or first or second quarter yesterday, he probably was not going to catch that ball anyway. There was a safety there ready to take his head off, which was apparently what the Broncos' goal was yesterday, based on
basically other evidence, runs and walks. Like, it was bad.
Yeah. So it's just there's certainly. Like, if you're looking for reasons to be bleak, if you're one of those people out there on the social media sphere, and you're looking for reasons to be bleak and say, oh, the season's over, oh, people should be fired, and like, you certainly have the ammo right now. They're not healthy. They played like crap. Their receivers can't catch the ball. They're not, like, in some people's minds, they're not running the ball like they should. Like, it's just, it sucks. Because, you know, there's not a whole lot that can be said. Like, they're struggling right now. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of leeway coming in the next 2 weeks. You have you're playing a Rams team on Sunday that I don't think Rams fans know what it is. Well, Rams fans is bit of a statement in itself, but
yeah, that one super fan is definitely concerned about.
That was a Chargers fan.
that's how little like Charger and Rams fans are. We're comparing them because we don't know what the heck they are.
Yeah, I mean, it might not be much of a home field advantage next week for the Rams. It might actually be more of a home game for the Browns, but that's still a weird team to play. They have talent. They are extremely hot or cold, but, you know, Matt Stafford can still do things. He's one of the things that the Browns got burned on last week by Russell Wilson was a quarterback that's able to dissect pre-snap, that's seen a lot of stuff. Matt Stafford's definitely seen a lot of stuff. He's really the first quarterback I think they've played this year that has that ability, and you saw them take advantage of it.
Yeah, like that is the one thing I noticed, because, like, of course, with the Fox broadcast, they have like the mic either on the center or on somebody where you can hear all the audibles, and it was like you could tell he kept finding looks that they could just keep going to again and again and again. It just, he had all the answers despite the fact he didn't throw the ball that well.
Yeah. Like they had so many different audible calls that worked. And you're going to see a similar kind of cerebral approach out of Matthew Stafford this weekend. Granted, Matthew Stafford is not going to take the ball on a quarterback end around like Russell Wilson did on his pizza call, but and that benefits the Browns, because I think we've pointed out earlier in the season that they seem to struggle with guys that are able to move and keep the play going a little bit, because inherently when you're in man, it's harder to guard the deeper you get into a play.
Yeah, it's the one weakness of man is, like, especially since you're turning your back to guard who you're guarding, you have no idea where the quarterback is. So, like, that is the one drawback of playing man as much as you are. Like, so, yeah, like, that is the one thing that you have with Matt Stafford is, sure, he's mobile, but he's not Russell Wilson mobile where he can break down a play with his legs.
No, but the thing that the Rams do have is a coach that is able to scheme receivers open, and you know they have, between Kupp, Nacua, and Atwell, they have guys that are hard to defend.
Yeah, and we saw it back in 2019, like when the Rams came to town here. Like Sean McVay is not somebody to take lightly. He'll make it a game one way or another, no matter the talent.
Yeah, so it's going to be a get right week, you know, in the training room and on the field. I don't expect this team is going to fold. They really haven't shown any reason to think that they would.
No.
So
this felt more like a bad week than more so like a gut punch in the, like, if you're a doomer, like, oh, this is like how the season ends. Like, no, I don't think it was that. It was just more a bad day at the office in my mind.
No, I mean, it could have been there was definitely the ingredients of, if it came back that Cooper broke ribs and was going to miss 3 or 4 weeks, and DTR is going to miss 3 or 4 weeks, and DTR could do most time, but Garrett was going to miss a month. Like, then you start like, okay, I'm not sure that the team can overcome this much.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
Like, I think they're already at the point where probably about half their cap is on IR.
Like, probably, if we like totaled up the money, pretty much the majority of the salary cap is on IR or has been injured for any lengthy period of time. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those doomed seasons. Doomed from a, like, fate standpoint. They've obviously played through it, and you can still come out the other side and make it to the playoffs, and, you know, at that point, who knows? But you just got to get there. And right now they're 3 wins from having that shot. And, you know, a win this week could go a long way. A win last week could have gone a long way. Like, that's a big AFC win. You're going to 8-3. You're knocking a team down to 5-6. And you see where 5-6 is. The Bengals are like out. 6-6. The Bills are pretty much out because their schedule is hell.
Like, yeah, they need some, like, a lot of things to break their way. They're in that realm of the in the hunt graphic.
Yeah. So, you know, the Browns, most metrics still have them around 70% to make the playoffs. They're going to need to get quarterback play. I think we talked about it a little bit. I would imagine the likelihood that we don't see DTR this week. Joe Flacco is at least someone that you can trust to make reads. He's going to know how to be a quarterback. Who knows if he's going to have any pocket awareness or any semblance of movement. He never really had that, and now he's 38 years old. So
I don't want to – I'm sorry, but I just don't want to see – because, like, he's been a statue for pretty much 5 years. And I just know how it's going to go if he can't make any throws. Just
yeah, Jerron Christian had a rough week blocking on Sunday. And Joe Flacco not moving seems like a bad recipe. But for all the mobility you lose in the Flacco versus DTR debate, you should gain experience and the ability to throw deep and maybe draw some pass interference calls, the Flacco specialty.
That's true. Earned half of his contract because of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's things you gain. There's things you lose. I definitely think everyone in that building probably trusts sending Joe Flacco out there on 2 weeks of practice over PJ Walker, which is kind of an indictment on PJ Walker. I think we're all pretty much done with that one. So,
yeah, I think we're at this point where, like, if it comes down to it, Joe Flacco, it's all you, buddy. It's your world.
Yeah, and then, you know, if he wins on Sunday, if he plays and wins, then you have to answer the question when DTR clears, is he going to be the quarterback again, or you just stick with Flacco? Hard to – I mean, we don't need to be ping-ponging between quarterbacks, to be honest.
Yeah, I at that point you just kind of stay with the hot hand. Nothing against DTR, but if say Flacco does win against the Rams, I could totally understand where Stefanski's like, hey, he's a veteran. Sure, he's old and he can't move, but he knows how to throw a football and he's been there and done that. So, you know, we'll stick with the old guy. So yeah.
Yeah. Going back to this game yesterday a little bit. Greg Newsome certainly had a rough start to the day. I do think his pass interference was a little weak, but then he came back and got toasted on a slant route like the next play, or a crossing route like the next play. So not a great showing. I think he had a missed tackle later on, but
Not Greg's best day. Not
Greg. No, which kind of led me to my earlier point was that, you know, you almost have to have Denzel next week.
Like Denzel at this point, he's been having a Pro Bowl type year. So like if he's able to come back this week, he's up against Cooper Kupp, you feel a lot more confident than Greg, who probably is more suited as that second or third corner. Like if he's your number one, it just doesn't seem like he's up to the task at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they defend the Rams on Sunday. And we're going to get more. We can get more. We can save that for the preview. But JOK had a really good day on Sunday. He was all over the place. I think I saw that he finished with 12 tackles and a forced fumble, like probably one of his better days. Other than that, it seemed like a pretty average day on the defense. They didn't make the same kind of standout plays that they usually do. With the way the run was gashing the middle, it certainly seemed like they were missing Anthony Walker, who I believe practiced at the end of last week and then just wasn't able to play. I thought he was limited on Friday. I could be wrong.
I think he was limited twice at the very end of the week, and yeah, he just wasn't able to go this week. Probably will this week if things track out.
It certainly kind of sucks that DTR is going to be going through concussion protocol this week when he could be enjoying having a week at UCLA practicing with the NFL team that he's on.
Yeah, that does suck because that would have been that would have been a mini homecoming just to come back, be the, like, because he spent 5 years at UCLA and was like, has a lot of school records there. So that would have been, that would have been a nice little story, but unfortunately he has to deal with the protocol and if he's going to play and, or, and like all that stuff, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that he's able to clear, but the track record on that this year has not been a 1 week thing. Denzel did clear it in a week. Brock Purdy cleared it in a week.
But yeah, it's kind of, yeah. You don't want to trust like one person because concussions are different case with different, they're different cases with different people. That's just how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all agree that we probably should have seen more out of Jerome Ford, yesterday. The game script kind of got weird, but he only had 9 carries. He had 65 yards in those 9 carries. So like he was running the ball really well. The Broncos leading rusher, Javonte Williams, had the same amount of yards, but needed double the carries. Samaje Perine, on the other hand, 7 for 55.
Yeah, he was tearing us up, man. Like that,
just like he did last year with the Bengals. Bengals should have never let him go. But you know, hey, they wanted Joe Mixon, and now they're wondering why Joe Mixon isn't getting the ball down there. So
that's true. I mean, but
yeah, so yeah. Bengals' problems are not Browns' problems. But yeah, I mean, this team is going to have to continue to just kind of piece it together. Wins are not going to come easy. I don't know what the Jets are going to be on whenever the hell we play them, December 27th. I think it's the 27th. I don't know what that, like Aaron Rodgers is the universe's greatest enigma now. Saw a tweet today that he doesn't believe in sunscreen anymore.
Wait, what? For real?
I don't know.
I believe it though, but yeah, that's it.
But he could play on a he could come back from a torn Achilles in 3 months and prove to be the second coming of the Greek hero Achilles. Like, I don't know. That game kind of remains up in the air as a game the Browns should win. Obviously, if Tim Boyle is out there, don't lose to Tim Boyle, please.
For all, yeah, like honestly,
like you shouldn't lose to the Bears. They have been playing better, but they're still not very good. You shouldn't lose to the Bears.
And then you have the Jake Browning-led Bengals, so that should be another win to hopefully bank on. So.
Yeah, and then you know you have 2 games against the leaders in the AFC South. And you got the wild card that is the Jets. And if you're able to get this win on Sunday, you knock one of those question marks off because you only need to win 2 games the rest of the way to get to 10. But you know we'll face that when we need to. Good Lord, it's 0-0 in the beginning of the second quarter in Minnesota. That game sounds atrocious.
Yeah, that one's sicko game of the week, probably.
No. Sicko game of the week happened in the Meadowlands. We picked it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I think that's about all we have to say about the game on Sunday. I think it's good that we came out of that game not as injured as it could have been. But the issues that plague them, the Browns, are issues that have reared their head at bad times all season, the drops and the turnovers. Like, they keep losing games because of this, and they can't keep that up. They have to figure out a way to fix at least one of them. Turnovers, yeah. I think, would be the most effective, but, like, you can't keep dropping passes.
Yeah, at least you can... Turnovers, I feel like, is the bigger issue. Drops, I mean, drops are drops, but you can at least survive drops for the most part. Like,
yeah, with the defense you have, you can survive drops and be okay. But I think that's about all we got on that one. It's just They've lost four times this year, and all four times, you know, three
kind
of those
of
four
similar story.
Three of those four times, you look at it, and you're like, well, they really did it to themselves. the other team didn't really do it to them; they did it to themselves. So, and hopefully, that's something that can correct itself. I'm gonna go ahead and get into our picks from last week, since everything has finished. We didn't pick the Monday night game this week because.
The game Gross. Picks did not go well this week.
No. Actually, I mean, for me, they went okay. But I will say we are now tied. Me and you are now tied again at 91 points. Gerbs is at 94. We didn't make up any points on him this week, but now we are tied.
Great.
Actually, I would have made up points because let's see. I don't know. Either way. I picked the Jags. You guys picked the Texans and lost. None of us in the Patriots and Giants game, we all picked the Patriots. That's gross. In the Bills and Eagles game, we all picked the Eagles. That game got a little dicey, but it worked out for us.
Mm-hmm.
We all picked the Ravens. That shouldn't come as a surprise. We all picked the Browns. Ouch.
Ouchies.
DTR pass attempts over under 26.5. I was the only one who took the under. I got that wrong. You guys got the over points. Browns rushing yards over under 146.5. Me and Gerbs picked the over. You took the under and got it right. We all took the under on Russ pass yards over under 213.5. Total yardage winner, we all picked the Browns, all lost. Combined turnovers over under 4.5. We all took the under and got it by half because there was four. Combined field goal attempts, you and Gerbs took the over under 5.5. You and Gerbs took the over. I took the under. I believe there was four. I believe there was four.
I think so, yeah.
So heading into week 13, Gerbs has 94 points. Me and you have 91. Still anyone's game.
We still enough time for me to come back.
6 weeks to go. But I think that kind of wraps up our recap. Certainly a bit more chipper mood for us than had it been last night when we were both pissed off. But I think the point still stays the same. Like, the Browns still control everything they need to control to get where they want to go.
Yeah,
their ceiling once they get there is still, it has been diminished, and it continues to be diminished every time they get hurt. But like, being 7-3 and missing the playoffs would really suck, and it would be the second time they've done that in 10 years.
Yeah, they just gotta piece it together. Like, they should be able to find those wins, but yeah, it's just it's the journey that is. And it's the journey less traveled at this point, because
it's not been a very rewarding journey. They've gotten 7 wins, but like, at what cost?
It's like that one meme. It's like, we won 7 games, but at what cost?
Yeah, at what cost is we've pretty much lost all of our players. I will say we are 1 week from getting one more game from potentially having Wills come off of IR.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to what people might have thought earlier in these four weeks, that will be an improvement.
Yeah, it kind of shows you where he is in the tier of tackles. That, like, Jed Wills is actually a pretty okay left tackle considering your like the rest of the options that you potentially have. So yeah,
he gets the job done. The issue is his bad reps are just abysmal.
Yeah, there's a reason why he was a practice squad player.
Yeah, but yeah, so we'll be back on Thursday. Hopefully we have some good news with players returning to practice by then. Hopefully we have some good news on Miles and we don't get a Wednesday bomb like we have the like two out of the last 4 weeks.
I'm not even bothering to knock on wood. I'm just waiting and seeing at this point.
I'm not knocking on wood. I'm slamming my head into a wall and hoping to get better.
At this point, I would probably be doing that too. Yeah.
But we will be back. I guess there's only one thing left to do, and that's go Browns.
Go Browns, baby.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.